The microphone on. I did have a mask on earlier for those who are watching this on YouTube, as we are mandated this time when we have public gatherings to wear that. But I am permitted as a speaker to remove it, and so I will take advantage of that. And I feel for all of you who are still wearing your masks. But last week I began a series of messages that are connected together in that they serve as examples or illustrations of Jesus' famous statement on the night that he was betrayed. In this world, you will have trouble. And as we noted in that sermon, trouble in this world is not unique to our time. It didn't start when Jesus made that statement. It has been a fact of life in this world since the time when Adam and Eve decided to go off script and venture out on their own apart from God. Trouble is a consequence of sin. Life in this world, this fallen, sin-ravaged world, is troubled. So it should not surprise us when we face troubles of various kinds on a regular, even a daily basis. That's life in this world. Now I know that's not a lot of good news there. The good news is found in the words that Jesus spoke after he made his observation about life in this world. In this world you will have trouble, but, he said, take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And what Jesus was announcing to his disciples on that night is that it is possible to experience another type of life in this world. Not a trouble-free life. Hardly. Jesus, when he spoke these words, was just about to experience the most horrific trouble that anyone has ever faced. Taking the sins of the world upon himself. The life that Jesus experienced in the midst of troubles in this world, and the life that he invites us to participate in, is the overcoming life. The overcoming life through faith in him. I want to take a look at another example of the overcoming life that is also found in the Hebrew Scriptures, or the Old Testament. Today's message is entitled, How to Stay Cool in the Furnace of Life. And it is based on that beloved over-the-top incident that has wowed listeners for millennia. And this is the story recorded for us in Daniel chapter 3. We're not going to read the entire chapter. I'm simply going to call your attention to some appropriate verses as we make our way through this message. But in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they face the fiery furnace. So I begin this morning by considering what I call the predicament of life in the furnace. The predicament of life in the furnace. And what I mean by that is it is important for us to recognize that we are in a furnace. We are all in a furnace. It's impossible not to be in the furnace. No matter how hard we try to shelter ourselves from it, no matter how hard or how fast we run, we cannot escape the reality of the furnace and our presence within it. Denying the facts won't change our situation. Now, What is this furnace that I'm referring to? Some of you may be thinking, it doesn't seem that hot to me. Are you sure that we're all in the furnace? Maybe there's just something wrong with you. Well, this furnace that I'm talking about is the world system in which we live. And in simple terms, the world system is the sum of the ideals, values, norms, etc., that the majority of people in our society adhere to and govern their lives by. It is how the sea of humanity surrounding us looks at, thinks about, and responds to life. Now, if you are still unsure as to what I mean, or what would constitute the substance of the world system, all I have to do is invite you to take a look at the media that bombards us every day. Whether it's TV, radio, videos, internet, magazines, billboards, whatever. They are all attempting to tell us how to think, how to act, and what to value. They want to prescribe for us what is right and wrong, which sounds ridiculous to me, especially given the fact that in this world, we are supposed to tolerate everything and consider all truth to be relative. And yet, it wants to tell us how to live. Now, as a quick reminder, while it is true that we are inhabitants of this world, we are not to consider this world as our home. It is not the final destination for followers of Jesus. Rather, we are to recognize that we are called to be in the world, but not of it, just as Jesus was not of this world. And this brings me to the final point I'd like to make about the furnace of life, and that is, this furnace has a goal. And the goal of the furnace is to get you and me to conform to its way of thinking, acting, and valuing. The world system wants to squeeze us into its mold. It desires to control us and to use us as a tool, then to lure others into its gravitational pull. It wants to turn us into clones and eventually into clone makers. Now, the world system does not come right out and tell you that it's seeking to conform you. No, it's very subtle and subversive in its approach to getting you to do exactly what it wants you to do. In the open and on the surface, why, it talks about individuality and uniqueness. It has catchy marketing slogans like, well, express yourself. Maximize your potential. Be there very best you. But at its very core, it is really about controlling and owning you. Did you ever happen to notice how my individuality has to conform to someone else's definition of ideal in order to be valid? Well, just like the literal furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced, the furnace of life uses the flames of conformity to get us to do its bidding. And I want to take a look at the powerful flames of conformity that we see in this passage and that we face on a regular basis. And if you look at verse 6 there, we see the flame of fear. The herald announces the king's edict regarding how everyone was to fall down and worship immediately or be thrown into a blazing furnace. So this fear, it was a daunting ultimatum. Bow, and then you can get back to your life as usual, or die a horrible and excruciatingly painful death for not bowing. And I think that would strike fear into the heart of any of us and give us good cause to pause before recklessly clinging to our resolve. Verse 7, we see the flame of peer pressure. It says, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the flute, or the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people everywhere of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. As that music began to play, everyone dropped to their knees and paid homage to the gold image the king had erected. And we all know how difficult it is to stand your ground in a crowd and hold unswervingly to your convictions when everyone else is taking a knee without giving it a second thought. This is especially true when there exists the risk of punishment or loss of reward for going against the crowd. So peer pressure. Then there's the flame of self-preservation. That's what we see in verses 8 through 12. It says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. I'm not sure how these Chaldeans, as it's translated in others, or astrologers, managed to... we don't want to say Australians. Managed to finish their prepared speech with a straight face. In reality, these men brought these accusations against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they were prompted by jealousy and contentment and resentment, and not out of a sense of loyalty or concern for the king. They looked at these three men and they saw their influence and prestige along with the perks were just being added to them while theirs were being diminished. And so they took advantage of a situation that apparently the king didn't know anything about. He didn't realize this was going on. And with the accusations flying and their reputations and their lives on the line, it would have been very tempting for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to want to do all that they could to salvage their jobs and their high positions within the Babylonian government. And what better way to do that than just to, you know, tip their heads in the direction of the image and then be done with the whole silly matter. Tempting. Final flame of conformity that we see in this passage is that flame of doubt. Look at verse 15. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? To the majority of those present on that occasion, I'm sure that the power of King Nebuchadnezzar and his blazing furnace seemed very imposing and uncomfortably real in comparison with the invisible God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were trusting in. No one would have blamed them if they decided to weigh the evidence and the impending doom that was being flaunted before their eyes and then come to the conclusion that it might not be worth the risk to hold on to their faith. They could live to fight another day. But we know that's not the choice that they made as they stood before the king and their accusers. And their courage and faithfulness have been a testimony to countless generations of believers. In the time that we have remaining, I want to answer two important questions here. The first is, how do we stay cool in the furnace of life like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and not get consumed by the flames of conformity? There are four keys to staying cool in the furnace of life contained in this passage. First key is to recognize the reality and the power of the furnace. We have to recognize the reality and the power of the furnace. Friends, the furnace is real. The furnace is powerful. The furnace is hot. And it will not help to deny the reality and the power of the furnace. We need to accept that it is a force to be reckoned with. We need to accept that it is capable of destroying you. Accept that you are no match for the furnace on your own. That's the first key to staying cool and experiencing the overcoming life. Second key, then, to staying cool in the furnace of life is to recognize the reality and the power of God. See, don't stay fixed on the furnace. Too many of us falter and start to sweat because we spend too much time looking at the furnace. You need to look at the furnace. You need to accept it's real and it's powerful. But then you need to turn. After accepting the truth about the furnace, we have to shift our attention from the furnace, from the world system, from what our eyes see and cannot deny as being real, and turn them to the unseen truth that makes faith undeniable, or that faith makes undeniable. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We need to come to a place of unshakable faith in the sovereignty, power, and goodness of God if we are going to stay cool in the furnace of life. Now, the third key to staying cool in the furnace of life is to reinforce your faith by developing meaningful relationships with other believers. We need other believers to walk alongside and do life with. We weren't created to make it alone. It's going to take more than a Sunday relationship with other believers. See, that's one of the reasons that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to be so bold. They knew that they were not alone. They knew they had each other's back. They knew that they were in this together. And by God's grace, they would get through this together. And when it was all over, regardless of the outcome, they would still be together. I need to ask you, do you have those kinds of relationship in your lives with your forever family? Are you intentionally building meaningful, faith-filled relationships with other believers outside of Sunday gatherings? Those relationships can make all the difference when you're facing the furnace of life. Fourth key to staying cool in the furnace of life is to resolve to trust in God regardless of the outcome. To trust in God regardless of the outcome. I want you to listen as I read. I don't want you to read. I just want you to listen to the response of these young men who have been given an ultimatum and are standing before an irate king. I'm going to read Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this event as it's found in The Message. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your threats mean nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from the roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Now I'm going to ask you, don't allow the familiarity of this story to blind you to the gravity of this moment as it unfolded in real time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen, had no idea how things would turn out when they gave the king their final answer. As they stood in that moment, they did not know. I love the way that James Montgomery Boyce describes their resolve in his commentary on Daniel. He says, "They did not waver because they already knew where they stood and why they stood there. In other words, they had already wrestled through such issues and knew that whatever else might have been, they were first and foremost worshipers of the true God. And he had said, 'You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make for yourselves, you shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands.'" Do you have that kind of resolve? Are you truly committed to following God with your whole being, even if things don't turn out to be pleasant? Dear ones, without this kind of resolve, we can never truly hope to withstand the heat of the furnace. I know this is not a popular message, but it is an indispensable component for living the overcoming life. And I just want to put it out there. If this is an area I'd love to sit down and talk to anyone about. who has questions. I want to move on to the second question, which I will address briefly. What are the results of the furnace experience? And I see three obvious results illustrated in this passage. One result of the furnace is that it destroys those who serve it. The furnace destroys those who serve it. In stark contrast to its promises, the world system is not about self-actualization or the achievement of true freedom of self-expression. The world system wants to take over your freedom and eventually destroy you. Look at what happened to the strong men who bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the furnace. It says that the flames of the furnace killed them. And all those who serve the furnace of life will be destroyed by it. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we see the second result of the furnace, and that is, it refines those who stand up to it. The furnace refines those who stand up to it. Again, don't miss this fact. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not exempted from the furnace because they had faith in God. They weren't exempted from the furnace because they gave a great testimony to the fact that they believed in God. They weren't exempted from the furnace because they remained unwavering in their faith. And there's a lot of people out there say you won't have trouble if you just have enough faith. It's not true. No. What do we see here? They had to go through the flames of the furnace. There is no escape, or there is no promise of escape from the furnace. Again, what did Jesus say? In this world you will have trouble. However, unlike those who serve the furnace, those who stand up to it are refined, and their faith is strengthened. A final result that I want us to see is that the furnace provides an opportunity for the display of the reality and power of God. It is humanly impossible to explain, I don't care how hard or who comes up with the science of it. There's no way to explain how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived the intense heat of that furnace outside of a divine intervention. Their faith in God and their resolve to cling to Him regardless of the potential outcome provided the platform for God to step in and do what only God can do. In the face of such impossible odds, God's power was displayed in three ways. First, obvious, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives were spared. Second, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian officials were brought face to face with the awesome reality and power of God. And then we see at the end here that the king issued a decree that forbade anyone from ever saying anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, though it is currently unlikely that we will face circumstances quite as extremes as the ones faced by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on that day, our faithful obedience to God in the midst of the furnace does provide opportunities for God's power and the reality of God's existence to be displayed for all to see. I'm going to wrap things up by answering this question. How do we apply this message to our lives? And I propose that each of us do three things in response to this message. First is, look at the four keys to staying cool in the furnace. And then I want you to ask yourselves, which of these keys is true of my life? Do you recognize the reality and power of the furnace? Do you recognize the reality and power of God? Do you reinforce your faith by developing meaningful relationships with other believers? And are you resolved to trust God regardless of the outcome? Which of these things are true? And the second part of that would be, which of these things are not true of my life? Got to be honest. And then second, do whatever it takes to make progress toward making each of these keys a reality in your life. And it may be helpful to look at the four keys of staying cool in the furnace of life through this filter. And that is, first of all, the keys are fairly sequential. They kind of just follow in line there. If you get the first one, you're ready to move to the second one. You're ready to move to the third one and final. And then, so I would encourage you just to work through them sequentially. And finally, encourage all of us to rest in the fact that God wants you to stay cool. And I want you to remember that He is with you in the furnace. Amen.